going through the book of Colossians on Sunday evenings, and I hope it's been a valuable study. I try to outline the verses the way that hopefully it makes a sense, or it puts it all together under a heading. So maybe some of the phrases or the sentences won't, perhaps can be more easily understood. And so I'm taking from the book or the Bible you have in your pew. It has sections outlined. So in each sermon, I'm trying to take a section that they've already defined, and that gives the topic for the evening. This evening's lesson is sermon number 4. And still in chapter 1, the beginning of verse 26, or verse 24, and going through verse 7 of chapter 2. And break it down into two main sections. First one being Jesus, or Paul's service for Christ. And then when he writes to them in this letter, he has a section here about his care and concern for them. And then he, right in the very middle of this, or this book, he's saying, you know, this is why I'm writing. So here's the text itself. Beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. And if you look through your notes, you'll see that Paul says, first of all, there's four things. He says that he's ready to suffer, ready to minister, ready to preach, and ready to toil. So I kind of see an outline there in his writing. So here's what he says, beginning of verse 24. Says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, the saints, God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, the definition of that mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Then it's chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this, or this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then he begins to give some warnings. So in the lesson, I put in your notes in the first section, he uses the word I 8 times, and then again you again. So we're going to look at, call attention to Paul's sufferings, his ministry, his preaching, his interest in the brethren here. So point number 1, in those closing verses of chapter 1, Paul's service is noted. Because he mentions the word I. Here's what my ministry, my involvement, my labor, my toil for you. So the first thing, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. So he's ready to suffer. Of course, we know that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is not something unique or odd or out of order. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. We partake of Christ's sufferings. How do we do that? That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he, meaning God, is blasphemed. But on your part, he's glorified. But the next, Paul says, you know, my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Well, he's not suggesting, so I put kind of made this note in your notes so you get a little understanding. He's not suggesting something is missing from the redemptive sacrifice of Christ. That would be a wrong conclusion. You know, Jesus paid it all. Nothing lacking. That of close identification between Christ and the church that's gone through suffering. Because the next phrase is his body, the church. So Paul says, my sufferings, the afflictions of Christ, for the church, his body. So there must be a connection between the sufferings and Christ and the church. Those three together, all in that same verse. And I just read in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, you partake of Christ's sufferings. Let me give you an illustration of that phrase, lacking, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And Christine had oral surgery just a month or so ago, or a couple weeks ago. I told her that I would go through hurt because of this surgery, and she did for several days after. I said, no, I want to go through what you're going through. If you have to eat oatmeal, that's what I'll eat. I don't want steak and eggs while you're while you're having that. I want to just partake in that affliction, in that hurt that's going on. Another illustration. Back in 1996, my brother and I were in Muskegon, Michigan for my mom's funeral. Christine was flying in the day before the funeral. Well, a hailstorm in Chicago cracked the windshield of the planes that she would take from Chicago across Lake Michigan to Muskegon. They weren't in a hangar, so the hail broke windshields. So they canceled the flights. So here Christine is in O'Hare Airport. They sent her this way and that way, down the tunnel, up the stairs, through there, all day in O'Hare Airport. Finally, at the very end, okay, we'll put you up over here. Go back the next day, still can't make it on time. And she didn't make it. Well, she got there right about the time the funeral was going to start or end. But when she was in O'Hare Airport, she called Sharon. And when Christine began to say, this is what I'm going through, Sharon said, I feel like I should go out to the garage and take a hammer. You don't remember that.
I'm sure I said it.
You said that. I'm going to go out to the garage and hit my thumb with a hammer so that I can hurt too.
I was going to hit her.
So here Paul is saying, I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. How do you do that? I want to suffer because you suffer. I want to hurt because you hurt, went through it. The idea is, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, we weep with those who weep, to rejoice. We are partakers. That's the idea of that message. If Christ suffered, the head, the body does too. It doesn't take away from the completeness of Christ's sacrifice or his sufferings. But that's what fills up in my flesh the afflictions of Christ. We are partakers together. I don't know if that grasps everything about it, but how do I fill up in my flesh what's lacking in the afflictions of Christ? He suffered, I want to suffer. If he hurt, I want to hurt too. The next thing he says in verse 25, after he says, I'm ready to suffer, I'm ready to minister. According to the stewardship from God, which was given me for you. And that takes us back to Paul's conversion when he was Saul on the road. And he had to go to Ananias, and Ananias had to be convinced. No, Ananias, you go to see Saul because he's my chosen one. and as a vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. Oh, the Gentiles again. And in verse 26 and 27 of our chapter, Paul mentions the mystery. The mystery again. Gentiles and mystery, they go together, hand in hand, in Paul's ministry. You know, so, and you, I just mentioned your notes, Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So there's something about the mystery of Paul and Gentiles that go together. 3, verse 4, has now been revealed. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Verse 7, of which I became a minister. Verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So when he says in verse 26 and 27, the mystery, and I received this stewardship from God. That's right, you have. So Paul says, I'm ready to minister. Ready. Then he says, I'm ready, in him we preach. So he's ready to preach. Him. Preach him. Acts 4, verse 12, I put in your notes. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So who do we preach? We preach him. We preach him. Okay. No another. So he says, I warn every man and teach every man. Well, in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 8, he says, beware. So he's warning. In chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. So Paul is saying, you know, I'm in my letters to you, in my preaching when I was there, I'm warning and I'm teaching. And that's what we do. Ready to preach. And number 4, in verse 29, to this end I also labor. Ready to serve. Two places. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, Paul said, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, yeah, that we might not be a burden to you. Labor and toil, Paul said. I'm ready to labor. I'm ready to suffer. I'm ready to minister. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to labor. So he reminds them of that. In the next section, in chapter 2, the first 7 verses, he says, you know, I'm not there. And sometimes they might say, I want to come. I hope to come, be with you. You know, but so because I can't be there right now, I'm writing to you. I want you to know I'm not there. I'm writing to give you a word of cheer. You know, verse 2, that your hearts may be encouraged. I want to give you an encouraging word. I want to lift up your hearts. Put in your notes, cards do that in letters. Remember, when you go into the house or the apartment, she had all the cards that she's received from the brethren. Every card, get well card and wish you well card, things like that, was spread out in the house on the shelves, the kitchen table, the side table. They were all there. I said, wow, you can. Received some cards. She says, yes, I have, and I read every one of them over and over again. I'm giving them a word of cheer. I want to lift them up. Don't ever think your cards, your text, your calls. Well, those are things that people that hurt cherish. And they remember those. And they read them and read them again. Last week, Christine had her birthday, and she kept the birthday cards out on the table for 3 days. Read them again. The well wishes. The texts. She'd get a text, and she'd come into where I'm sitting and say, I got a text from someone. The birthday wish. Cheer bringing. Paul, why are you writing? That your hearts may be encouraged. Number 2 is in verse 2, that being knit together in love. So I put definition of knit, you know, Merriam-Webster, is to link firmly or closely together, to form a fabric, one piece, form a fabric or one object by interlacing yarn or thread in connected loops with needles. Definition of a knit. When he says, I want you knitted together, I want you interlocked. Linked together in love, he said. in the text. Why, Paul, while you're writing, give you a word of cheer and to remind you to have care and concern for one another and lock arms in your love for one another. Next, in verse 3, or number 3 in verses 2 and 3, I want you to attain all the riches of the full assurance, in whom are hidden all the treasures. So, I just kind of put in my notes here, that's just, Paul's reminding them that they have an I know salvation. I know. Someone asks you, are you saved? But you go, not sure. Can't tell. No. I'm writing. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, I know him whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In 1 John 5, verse 13, John says, these things, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may know you are saved. Paul is saying here, I want to give you, make sure you have a, I know salvation. So he writes. Number 4 is in verse 4. Now of this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Paul reminds them, you weren't deceived when I preached to you, or you weren't deceived when Epaphras was there. You weren't deceived when you first heard that word of truth. Yeah. Don't depart from that, he says. You know, it reminds me of Galatians chapter 1. Paul said to the people in Galatia, I marvel that you're turning away so soon. Marvel. So soon you're turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So we, or gospel, than that which we preach to you and that which you receive, let him be accursed. As I say now, so say I now again. If anyone preaches unto you anything other than what I preached to you or what was delivered, let him be accursed. So Paul, in his letter, at one line after another, he gets the point. Don't be deceived by somebody that's coming along after me with a different message. Then number 5 is in verse 5. For though I'm absent in the flesh, I'm with you in the spirit. Yeah. Remember, Epaphroditus brought Paul a good report. You know, Epaphroditus was sent by the congregations there in Laodicea and Ephesus and Philippi. And Paul's over there in Rome. Go tell them. We're doing okay. Epaphroditus gives Paul a good report about the congregations. And Paul is going to send him back with assurance, with this letter, you know, encouraging them. So Paul, Epaphroditus says, he's told me about your good order and steadfastness, and I rejoice in hearing that. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in faith. No greater joy. How's work going for you? Well, that's fine. How's the congregation where you attend? How's your faith? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Then the last one is in verse 6. So as therefore you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You know the message that was preached? The message you heard, the message you received. Yeah. Paul said, I want you to be rooted in that. Kind of like the psalmist said, like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I want you to be rooted, Paul said. I want you to be built up in him. Rooted and grow. I want you to be established in the faith. Our faith is built on a solid foundation. That I know salvation, that confidence, that assurance, you know, that God so loved the world, he sent a son. And says, as you've been taught, and then the last phrase in verse 6 and 7, abounding in it. Not just a little bit. You know that faith that you have, that ministry, that stewardship, abound. Abound in it. With thanksgiving. Put lots of thanksgiving in your prayers. Next Sunday evening, Chris Delgado has going to be delivering the lesson. And then we have our first Sunday singing devotional following that. So Lord willing, in a couple, 3 weeks from now, three weeks from now, I'll continue with chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul, beware of five things. Beware. Specifically pointed out, watch out for these five things. So that's coming up. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you have this. You've heard the good news, just like Paul is writing to the brethren here. You've heard. Yeah. So the problem is not necessarily knowledge many times, but no. The things that were written were to produce belief. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Oh, the written word, the treasure of it, the value, a benefit to produce belief. So when you hear or read the word of God, believe it. And then as Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent. Turn your life around. Turn it toward God. And then confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of sins. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can certainly accomplish that tonight too. Let's stand together as a selected force. If that's your resolve, come and or let it be known at the close of this song.